Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. Man, that was a quick first hour of the show. We've already packed in so much, and we haven't even touched football until now. We are asking you, though, what is the NBA or NHL playoff series that you're most jazzed up about? You wouldn't miss a game right now. It gives you a reason to get up in the morning. Well, another reason to get up in the morning. It's not so melodramatic. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I already see a bunch of your answers, which is great. And then on our Facebook page, typical Facebook. I don't know when you guys sleep or when you work, but you love your Facebook. So After Hours with Amy Lawrence there. And our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. We do want to dive into what's been a tumultuous week in college football. Emotions running high. Many questions still unanswered. And to that end, we welcome former Ohio State linebacker and national champion Joshua Perry, now a Big Ten analyst. So I spent the week talking about what's happened in college football. Joshua, you're not that far removed from the game itself, not that far removed from the atmosphere that's created around college football. So if you could put yourself in the position of the players who've heard this announcement, the Big Ten, the Pac-12, other conferences, how are they feeling right now?
Yeah, and it was a lot of teams throughout the Big Ten, actually, where the players were making a stand that they wanted to play. And I can speak more to the Ohio State players, actually. It wasn't that long ago that I was playing there, and I know some of those players on that roster. And from speaking to them, I think the biggest thing is that there's no plan moving forward. You know, they get the news that the season is postponed until spring. But if you're a senior, for example, you don't know what your eligibility situation is going to be. You don't know what a spring season looks like. You don't know what the next day moving forward is going to be in terms of working out, in terms of getting back to classes, in terms of all the protocols that they thought they were going to be following as they were heading into a season. All of that has now disappeared. So I think it's really how quickly all of this was thrust upon them and just the situation of not knowing. That's really frustrating to these players outside of the fact that they can't play the game that they love this fall.
A lot of the Ohio State guys were part of that movement that was really Sunday into Monday, including Justin Fields, the quarterback, but many others trying to express their feelings that they wanted to play as long as they could be safe. On top of everything else, does it feel like their voices weren't heard and not taken into consideration?
You know, it's funny. Like, I was thinking about that the other day, and I think the reality of the situation is that they were heard, but they weren't listened to, if that makes sense. So I think there was an overwhelming awareness about this "we want to play" movement, and there were some very prominent names thrown in there, like you said. And it was understood, I think, to a certain degree that the players felt like they could go out there with the protocols that were in place, and they were very comfortable with them. They felt like if students were coming back to campus, there would be no difference in that situation. And then the players being able to go into the facility and go to practice and then compete in games. But the reality of the situation is everybody kind of heard that, but they really didn't listen to them. And I think there's two sides of that story. Is student athletes are frustrated in general because they're not typically listened to. And this was really a big push that was picked up by everybody, media, college football fans. Everybody really enjoyed it. So there's that part of it. But the other part of it, and I think it's valid, is that even though these athletes are they are masters of their own experience, and they are, you know, they're the ones who can tell you about that. The doctors are really the ones who understand the coronavirus pandemic, and so that information has to be valued too. So it was going to be a tough one for these athletes to use their voice just because of the state of the pandemic, but at the same time, you just feel like they weren't really considered.
Weirdly enough, they're supposed to be practicing, or they're allowed to continue practicing. So that part doesn't make sense to me. As you say, they'd be in a greater population on campus, and at least right now it seems most universities have a plan to be on campus for the majority of the fall semester. And they could be working out, they could have football practices together, and yet not have games. That part I keep coming back to, it doesn't make any sense to me.
It's a very strange situation. I agree with you. I mean, you know, they're allowed to work out 20 hours a week right now, I believe, on campus, and it's going to be the same testing protocols and all that kind of stuff, which really, really blows my mind. And then when you truly think about it, too, if it's not safe for football players to play, then it's probably not safe to bring 50, 60,000 students back on that campus. It's, you know, that's a situation there. At Michigan State, I know that they were approved to play intramural sports this fall, but you can't actually play varsity sports, which is another one of those situations. So I believe that the lack of the lack of consistency,
sure,
the incongruence that exists throughout this scenario is what's really troubling. And it makes you ask the question, is this a reaction to the letter that players sent to the Big Ten, and they're afraid of some of the organization that could be going on amongst players? Is this a reaction to some of the liability questions that have been raised? Or is this really conferences trying to stave off the talk of name, image, and likeness and paying players? Do they want to really keep that amateurism? And so the best way they feel like they can do that is to not have football this year.
Really? Really? Is there some fear that that's actually part of it?
Yeah, the question's been raised because the Pac-12 players sent that letter in, and they had some really wide-ranging demands, and then the reaction was for the Pac-12 to really pull back. The Big Ten players sent a letter in, and it wasn't as demanding as what the Pac-12 players sent, but you evaluate the information that both of those conferences had before they canceled, and then the information that existed when it seemed like they had that tone shift of moving toward canceling. And the information about the pandemic really didn't change. What they had was players talking about organizing and players making demands, some of which were financial. And so you could make a case that this might have been a reaction to the amateurism question. And I feel like, and this is me going off, but if you would just admit that student athletes are not just amateurs, you probably would have been able to cancel classes this fall, put student athletes in a bubble, and then be able to let them go out there and compete. But when you're trying to classify them as the same as everybody else on campus, that's where you get into these situations.
Joshua Perry is a former Ohio State linebacker, graduated in 2015, and played for Urban Meyer, who recently spoke out this week, Joshua, about how there's no chance that spring football can work. What's your reaction to the idea of everything that comes along with college football? And it's a massive undertaking, moving to the springtime.
There are very few things that I like about a spring football situation. From a player safety standpoint, if canceling fall football was about player safety in the coronavirus pandemic, then you're facing a different player safety issue in the spring, because you're gonna basically go back to back on two seasons. You could make a case that all the anticipation of things that will change about the pandemic won't change by the time they start a spring season. You know, testing might not be better. The actual state of the pandemic might not be better. All these things, and then you're asking players to play more games in basically the same type of calendar year situation. And I think that's a really difficult undertaking. I also think that student athletes are so used to their schedules being lighter in the winter and in the spring compared to the fall.
Right.
So academically, they're able to get ahead. They typically take more classes in that spring semester. If you add another season, it's probably going to put players back academically, and that's a big deal since they are student athletes. And then the other thing is it's hard for anybody to convince me that a spring season is going to actually matter. Like, I don't know if anybody's really going to give a damn about a t-shirt that says 2021 spring football national champions. You know, they're not probably going to give out a Heisman trophy. Are they going to do all American honors, all conference national awards, all that kind of stuff? And if the answer is no, then why even risk it and go out there and play? Let's put all of our chips in on playing fall football a year from now.
Joshua Perry is now with the Big Ten Network as an analyst. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Obviously, this is it's most devastating for the seniors. It's so hard to stomach. Do you stay in school another year simply for football? A lot of seniors are already planning on graduating and working on jobs and careers, which is hard enough in the climate that we're in. Heck, it's hard enough in any climate to come out of school and get a job. So if you were a senior in this situation, what would you be thinking about?
It's hard. I couldn't even imagine. Like, I heard a story about a player from the University of Michigan who actually dropped a class last year so he could have one class to take this semester to maintain his eligibility for a fifth year. And now to be in this situation where he might not even get to play that out is ridiculous.
Mm.
And you're absolutely right. It's the question of, do you come back and try to play because you're trying to put, you know, your best material out there on tape so you can get to the NFL? Do you try to play just for the love of the game and you know it might be your last opportunity? Do you call it quits and then try to get into this coronavirus job market, which is struggling for a lot of people, let alone recent college grads? Like, it's really hard to plan and forecast already with all the questions, and now you throw this extra variable in there. And senior year is supposed to be one of those that you remember, and it's supposed to, you know, kind of put a nice, beautiful little bow on a career that was probably filled with adversity and challenges along the way. And then to really sprinkle this in, I know that's not going to be the way that these seniors want to remember their last year of college football.
You went through the draft process. Could you imagine having done that without the ability to play in your final year or to go through whether it's combines or workouts or the option of being in front of scouts in person as opposed to tape?
The last year of tape for me was absolutely huge. And it was the combination of all the things that you just said, and I'm sure that they'll figure a way to do that. But the reality of the situation is if these players can't get a good enough number of games on tape for their last year, it could be a detriment to them. And Joe Burrow tweeted it. The quarterback who played at LSU went number one in the draft. He was a guy who was on his last year, and that was the year that really made him Joe Burrow the household name. If he wasn't able to play his senior year, he said that he would probably be looking for a job right now. And there are going to be players that are really defined by their last year, and it's not to say that they're going to be the first overall pick in the draft, but it's going to put them in a position to live out their dream and to make a ton of money, to set their families up and to change their family tree. And that's what you feel bad about, is the missed opportunities here that you can't get back. And football is such a finite game with a short window, and every play matters, every year matters. And, you know, it's evaporating away from some of these players, and they're rightfully frustrated, and as fans were frustrated too, because a lot of us wanted to see some of our favorite players who are 4 or 5 year guys go out the right way, and we won't get to see that.
Just out of curiosity, because you were in this environment, so was I, although it was a long time ago, but what kind of faith do you have in athletes having them actually stick to the type of protocols that would be required for this to work? How much confidence do you have that athletes will stick to those protocols?
That's a really good question. Athletes are known for having extreme restraint and being able to do some things that take an immense amount of discipline.
True.
We've seen athletes change their bodies in a short amount of time. We've seen them strive to do better and better. We've also seen athletes do really, really dumb things that you would think in the position that they're in, they wouldn't make those mistakes. And so I feel like it's really a toss-up, and it goes probably to the culture of the teams more than anything else. But like a scenario I see that's realistic is the third-string quarterback for these conferences that are playing, or let's say the third string linebacker who's not on the travel team, you know, is that person not going to go out to a campus bar or a party over the weekend while the team is on the away game and then come back and potentially spread COVID through his team? Mm-hmm. That's a realistic situation. And maybe it's more benign than that. Maybe it's you're sitting in math class and somebody, you know, down south where maybe they're a little bit less restrictive. Somebody decides they don't want to wear a mask when they're walking around campus. And as you're walking to math class, you know, somebody sneezes and they get droplets in your face. And next thing you know, you've contracted the coronavirus. I feel like it's a really, really hard situation to estimate. And that's the biggest challenge here. And we'll see in the next couple of months what really happens. But there are a lot of variables here. And I feel like it could get a little bit out of control quickly if certain things don't go right.
So then when you see the split in the Power Five and you've got the Pac-12 and the Big Ten for whatever reasons deciding not to move forward, but these other three who are already, the other three of the Power Five, already going through the protocols and the practices and getting ready and trying, which one do you think was the right path?
Well, I'm a try kind of guy. I would have loved to have seen all the resources, all the effort put into trying, but I also feel like some of this is a little bit of a charade. It's a little bit of performance. And what I mean by that is you'll listen to Commissioner Sankey for the SEC talk about they're going to try and they're going to exhaust all their resources and they're going to explore every option to play. But then he follows that exact statement up by saying, but I'm not sure that we'll play this fall. Hmm. And so what I'm getting at is if he knew that they were going to play or he was confident, he would express that level of confidence. He's putting doubt in there just to try to prepare. And I feel like the tone of these conversations and the language has been lost among a lot of people. When the Big Ten released their schedule, it was very noncommittal. It was, if we play the season, this is how we're going to play it. And that was Kevin Warren's tone the whole way. Athletic director for Ohio State, Gene Smith, was the same way. And all of that to say that they could be doing all this trying, and I'm glad that they are. But at the end of the day, I don't even know if they're very confident in their ability to pull it off. So we might look back in a couple of months and say, you know, Big Ten might have called it early, but they made the right decision. We could look back. And they're going to go all ahead, and we're going to say, all right, well, Big Ten, you fumbled this one, and we don't know what the consequences will be for that.
Former Ohio State linebacker, Big Ten analyst, now Joshua Perry with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. You were part of a national championship squad with Ohio State. When you hear that there may still be a championship among the schools that are remaining, what's your reaction?
Oh, it chaps me so hard because this was a team, and last year they made it to the semifinal, and it was a very funky game. They were a few plays away from being able to compete in a national championship. Clemson got the best of them. And this is a year where if you ask anybody who follows college football, if you ask any of the analysts, any of the insiders, they were predicting Ohio State versus Clemson national championship. So it would have been the rematch that everybody wanted. It would have been an opportunity for my alma mater to really go out there and to become a championship team. And it's so disappointing that that opportunity is taken away, because even though Ohio State is a competitor year in and year out, it's hard to win the championship.
Right.
And so when you feel like you have the roster that's in place and, you know, it doesn't come together. And it's not because somebody got hurt. It's not because they just didn't play well enough. It's because they didn't have a damn chance to play.
Gosh, it hurts to think about the athletes. Even if it is the right thing to do, it hurts to think about the chances that are lost.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of the big point of what you said. Like, again, we're all very fired up about this. I'm extremely fired up. I wish they would have given a chance to the players to go out there and do what they love to do and to compete. But the reality of the situation is, if they feel like this is the best course of action, and it's the best way to protect players, we can be angry about the decision, but also understand that it was done from a place of hopefully wanting to protect these guys. And we have to at least honor and acknowledge that. And I think one thing I was proud of from the Big Ten presidents and ADs is that their statements acknowledged that much, is that they were frustrated and they were disappointing, but they were understanding and they realized the overarching picture. And, you know, in all this reaction, I think it was lost upon fans a little bit, because, to be completely honest here, some people, they can't stand their job. They don't like their spouse. They hate the house they live in. Their kids are wild. And the one thing that they enjoy is 12 Saturdays out of the year to watch their team compete. that's taken away. But once you step back and you realize that we're in the midst of a pandemic, something that we haven't seen in 100 years in this nation, I think it contextualizes a little bit that in the grand scheme of things, we want people to be healthy. We want people to be able to, mitigate the risk so they can continue to do things into the future instead of putting it on the line right now and maybe jeopardizing what they're able to do later.
That is so true. You can find Joshua on Twitter at RIP_JEP. Joshua Perry played at Ohio State, won a national title, was a linebacker there, and is now part of the Big Ten Network, analyzing away football or no football. Joshua, I appreciate your time. Thank you so much for the insight.
No, thank you for having me. Really enjoyed it.
So much to pick apart there with Joshua. And he has great insight from his time with Ohio State in the Big Ten football realm and recognizing that it's okay to be angry about the decision and to be heartbroken for the athletes, but still to understand it might have been the right call, even if it was made early. But I really want to talk about what he said regarding the athletes' voices and how they were heard but not listened to. So we'll do that when we come back. But he said the biggest thing right now is there's no plan moving forward. You don't know what the next day is going to bring. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, lots of you sending me the series that you're excited about that you can't miss. And it's kind of cool, right, in the month of August to have playoffs like this and compelling action to bridge the gap until we get to football and then even beyond, right? So September and October could be even busier than we're used to. It's November that will feel a little odd. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.